if you're an IT professional, probably at some point in time along your career, you have a work on automation project. You may have written small programs. You may have worked on different automation tool. You may have developed skill set in PowerShell and use it to automate processes and operations. However, as IT is transitioning into cloud computing, does automation work the same? Do we need to get a different skill set? How does it work? What are the differences? That's what we're going to find out in this episode. My name is Yang Cho, and I am a technology evangelist at the Microsoft. I want to welcome you to TechNet Radio, and this is the episode 6, Automation for Predictability, part of our DevOps series. Today, I have a special guest, Charles Joy. And Charles, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do in Microsoft, and welcome to TechNet Radio. Welcome to this DevOps series.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. So my name is Charles Joy. I'm in the Windows Server System Center CAT team. So I often refer to it as WSSC because it's WSSC. So if you catch me saying that, that's why. And the CAT team, it can mean a lot of different things. There's other CAT teams, like there's the Azure CAT team, and there used to be, I think there's Office CAT and things like that. But it's really, we're all about customers, accelerating adoption, providing customer insights to engineering, and delivering knowledge to the community. So we have blogs and stuff like that. So that's where I sit. I'm a senior program manager, and just work on solutions and helping customers with those solutions.
Good. And I note, do you have any particular area you're focusing on?
Yes, silly me. So I came, a quick background, I came from the Opalis acquisition, I don't know how many years ago, and Opalis was all about automation, process automation. We, Microsoft, transformed that into Orchestrator, and then I've worked on Orchestrator, well, Opalis, Orchestrator, Service Management Automation, that's currently the on-prem solution with Orchestrator, and now Azure Automation as well. So if I had to sum all my experience up, I'm an automation guy.
Oh, cool. And then so we got the right person then.
I certainly hope so.
You know what? Since you're the automation guy, so I have a very basic question to start with this episode is, you know, we kind of know why we want to automate, but I want to hear it from you. Why we want to automate?
Sure. And this is, I mean, an age-old question where we used to have binders of process that we had to go through, and we'd click and do a whole bunch of things at one after another. But in general, automation today, whether using PowerShell or a GUI-based tool like Orchestrator, there's three main things. It removes manual steps, it saves time, saves on errors and saves time, and it provides a consistent experience every time. If you click that go button or if the monitor kicks off an event, it's going to happen the same way every time, consistently, and report, you know, you could report on it and audit and everything. So those are the three main things automation provides.
Great. And I think, you know, once we automate it, then we can optimize it. We can do a lot of great thing about it. So that's definitely something I think for IT Pro, that's very essential. Now, over the years, many IT professionals, our audiences, they have developed some experience with automation, but previously we do on-premises deployment, right? Now, as we transition into cloud computing, what are the differences? I mean, do we do things differently? All the skill set that we have developed previously, are they still relevant? How can we apply them?
Yeah, actually, everything that you've learned up to this point is likely relevant for the cloud, especially if you're just getting started with infrastructure as a service, because the same kind of things are going to happen in those virtual machines as they were on-prem. In fact, I wrote a blog post, The Evolution of Cloud Automation, recently, where I walked through what I went through with Orchestrator on-prem to SMA on-prem, Service Management Automation, and then to Azure Automation. So I used all of my automation knowledge from the very beginning to just on-prem with a GUI-based sort of tool to, you know, PowerShell in the cloud with Azure Automation. So everything translates forward, I think, in the evolution.
Well, that's good to know, because I do know that over the years, many people have developed and invested their time in Microsoft technology. And so, you know, you learn all these things with Microsoft infrastructure, and now hopefully as we transition into a different environment, we can continue to, you know, apply them. Now, Windows Azure is Microsoft public cloud solution platform, right? And so previously we did a lot on-premises, and then we modernized data center, and we kind of in a hybrid cloud scenario, we want to transition into public cloud. Now, along this whole path, right, when we do on-premises and when we do it in Windows Azure, I mean, how do we make the transition? What are those tools and our infrastructure setting that in Windows Azure that can help us?
So if you've played at all with Azure in the past couple of years, you've probably familiarized yourself with PowerShell and the PowerShell commandlets, and it's even the web service or the API that's available. So what we now have, as opposed to having to do a hybrid scenario where you have your automation on-prem and you're automating something in Azure, they have something that is in preview currently and people could sign up called Azure Automation, which brings that automation that was on-prem, and it looks and feels exactly like service management automation if you played with that, in Azure. It's actually one of the resource providers on the left-hand side, and we'll show you that later in the presentation. But it's all about using what you your assets that you've created on-prem and in the cloud for your integration and automation for Azure resources.
So I am assuming, this, based upon what you're saying, I'm assuming the skill set I have developed, the PowerShell script that I have developed, all these little artifacts I've created for my automation, I can apply that, or I have a good opportunity to migrate them or integrate it into something that I do in the cloud, I guess.
Absolutely. So in Azure Automation, there's the concept of a runbook. And the runbook is really just PowerShell workflow. So if you have existing investments in PowerShell workflow, those immediately go up. If you have investments in PowerShell, you may have to tweak them to work with PowerShell workflow, but they'll work as well. And of course, there's a little bit of constraint right now because it's a fully public cloud solution. So your automation, it has to go against things that you would have access to in that environment. So right now, the easiest thing to try and play with is Azure itself with the Azure commandlets, and just use your scripts that you've built and you can start automating right away.
Oh, cool. Cool. Now, here are two things I want to get more specifics from you. One is you mentioned Azure Automation. Second thing, you just talked about runbook. I heard runbook previously in System Center, orchestrator, and I assume that's probably related. I would like to get more specific on that. But before that, in terms of when Microsoft Azure Automation, how do I get on it? Is that a service in, or what is it in Windows Azure, and how can I access to that? How can I get started with it?
Sure. It's a new service that's in preview, and we could provide the link. Really, all you have to do is sign up just like you would for any other service that's there. Once you sign up, it shows up on the left-hand side. You click on it, create an automation account, and you're off to the races.
Cool. Now, what about Runbook? How do I plug it in?
So Runbooks, if you created anything on-prem, whether it's an orchestrator or SMA, Service Management Automation, the concept of Runbook is very familiar to you. So you have a bunch of little things that add up to a larger process. So something executes, then feeds data to the next object, so on and so forth. Same concept with PowerShell. And in Service Management Automation, a runbook actually translates to a PowerShell workflow. It's the same exact thing in Azure Automation. So if you've built stuff in PowerShell workflow for SMA, you could bring it directly to Azure Automation. So the runbook is still the same from SMA to Azure Automation. It's still a PowerShell workflow.
That's really good news to know, because I know that runbook give you really a visual type of development for your processes and operation, and you can really kind of make a complex process and make it into the runbook, and then you can get some predictability when you run it. Now, all this is great, and Charles, I would like to say I trust you. I listen to what you say, but it'd be really nice if you can show me, walk the walk and let us experience what you're talking about.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. So before we actually hop right into the Azure environment and show you the Azure resource provider, I'm going to actually show you some resources that are available, and we'll provide links to all this stuff as well. So this is the blog. It's Building Clouds, and we will get the links, but it's akams/bcb is the fastest way to get there. And I've written some blogs specifically about automation, so if you actually go to the automation tab, there'll be a number of things, not just Azure automation, but everything leading up to it. So this is the blog post I was talking about earlier, the evolution of cloud automation. And really, this has a set of curated links that will get you started with Azure Automation. So I give all the links that are provided, across the internet seems, I've tried to put them all in one place here. So a small introduction, I give you an overview and all that good stuff. I point you to another blog, which is the actual people who are responsible for creating this project in the product group, the System Center Orchestrator Engineering blog. It's the same people creating Orchestrator, SMA, and Azure Automation. So that's nice. They have all the background necessary for this. I do a call out to Keith's blog post, a step-by-step guide, which is a great resource if you're looking for it. And then I just go into my experience with the evolution of cloud automation, which started on-prem, went hybrid, and now can be completely in the public cloud. And I sort of walk through that step by step. And it's not just all talk. I actually give actual scripts. So the first one I get provided was a provision Azure Environment Resources, and it pauses in the middle, and you can put up the upload. You can upload a VHD, and then it resumes, and it leverages a lot of what's available in PowerShell workflow for resume and suspend and stuff like that. So that's one example. And then the next example I just put out a couple weeks ago was like you had to stop and upload something, and I didn't like that. That's like semi-auto. I like full auto. So I also put up something in the gallery that was just press go, type in some stuff, and then it'll provision you an entire environment. And I put that up there. And basically, you choose one of the VHDs from the gallery that's available in Azure, and you're off to the races. So I'll show you those runbooks. I just wanted to give you a little foundation on what's available from my blog. And then before we jump into the actual demo, there's one resource that's called out in my blog post that I'd like to show you. And it's the Why Should You Use Automation post here on the Microsoft Azure site. So it shows, process automation that simplifies cloud management, integrate to the systems you depend on. Are you using these things here? Websites, cloud services, virtual machines, in Azure, then you could automate them. You could deliver flexible and reliable services and lower costs and improve predictability. These are all sort of in line with when you asked me, why would you automate? Well, here's some more detailed answers on that. And obviously, there's more links, pricing details, documentation, all that good stuff that's available here. And again, it's in preview. So go ahead and sign up. And you could start exactly where I'm going to show you right now, which is I'm going to pop right in to the Azure environment. You can see I got a bunch of stuff on the left-hand side. And automation, if you look all the way down here, it's the little gear with the lightning bolt, very similar to the icon or the graphic that I had in my blog post. I'm trying to help with the branding there and familiarity. So down here in automation, if you click on it, first thing you see would be set up an automation account. Well, I set up an automation account a little while back when I was starting to play with this. And basically, you assign it to a subscription that you have in Azure. And if you see this screen, you already have a subscription. So you go ahead, create it. And then once you create it, you get access to what you would be familiar with if you leverage service management automation on-prem. So this is where the experience starts to become the same. Why is it different? Well, in Azure, everything's by tenant, right? You're logged in as a tenant. So this is multi-tenant here in Azure. On-prem, we're getting there. But once you're in with an automation account, you're a tenant now in the automation space. So go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry, Charles. Now, this is preview, so I guess you need to sign up preview in order to get this option. Am I correct?
Right. Correct. And I believe you can go new app services, automation preview, and there should be a sign up option here. I've already done it, obviously. There are links that go directly to, click the button, sign up, and you register, and you get queued, and then you'll be able to use it once you get approved. So they are approving them on a regular basis. So you may have to wait a little while, but it is something that is in preview and it's available publicly.
Right. And then once it's approved, and you will see that automation option becomes available.
Down here, yes. Or with the gear and the lightning bolt. Yep.
Great.
And then once you get that, you create your automation account, and then you'll get a screen that looks exactly like this. Well, except you'll have a different name. So on here, all the links to documentation are available as well. Okay, so we're going to take a look at the various things that are available here. So we're going to go to the dashboard. And this really, once you get started, is not very interesting because you haven't done anything yet. But once you start creating and using, you'll see stuff, you know, accumulate here. And I actually haven't used it in a couple of days, so I put it to 30 days. You could see I was doing some testing back a little while ago, and you can see the various queued, failed, stopped, suspended, completed, and running statuses. And that's nice for monitoring what's going on and what has happened. Down here in usage overview, you could see how many minutes of the allocated amount that you have. And there's different pricing options. So 500 is the free, and then I think 10,000 might be the pay $20 a month. I'm not positive, and I don't think those are locked, so don't quote me on any of that. It is in documentation. But there might be another one for, you know, heavier users and things like that. And the free account also comes with 20 runbooks. I have four created. And then you can upload your own modules. So if you created modules of your own in PowerShell, or you want to leverage, you know, some other module that's available for an internet-facing or, you know, service, you can certainly do that there. And then you can see the job listing there in the past 30 days. And there's a whole bunch of other, at a quick glance, stuff that you use to in Azure, except it's related directly to Azure automation. So runbooks and activities, variables, and all that good stuff that I'm going to get to in a second. So before I actually go to the runbook space, I'm going to go to the assets, because your runbooks depend on assets. So I'm going to click on assets. And we're going to see here that I've created a number of things. So I created a certificate. I was just called it test, and I wanted to upload a certificate and see if I could leverage that as part of my automation. I have an actual certificate that I use every time when I'm connecting to Azure, and it's a real Azure certificate that I've imported or added specifically as an asset. I have a subscription, a connection to Azure that leverages the subscription and all that good stuff, and I've put in my, you know, subscription ID into the connection type of an asset. And then there's the Azure module. If you have other PowerShell modules, they would show up here. You could import module here. And then it could have store passwords encrypted. I could store names and strings, like, you know, here, what's the generic storage container? That's part of my automation. So enough talking about what you can or what you see. Let's add one real quick and show you that experience. So I've clicked add setting at the bottom, and then I'm going to click add variable. And variable type, I'm just going to choose string. I give it a name, my demo string. It checks to see if that's an okay name, so it has that validation. Click next. You can add a value in here now or later. You can, you know, put it in via automation, but if you want to, you know, this is the default string for this variable. Doesn't matter. You can encrypt it if it's a password or not. You could also add a credential type, which is completely different than just a string, but so you could store whatever you want, well, within reason for the automation. So it should show up. There it is, my demo string. So now I have the ability to access that and change it on the fly within a runbook. So enough talking about assets. Let's go over to runbooks. This is where the heart of the automation is. So on the runbooks tab, you saw earlier that I had four runbooks. Well, these are my four runbooks. And these two are the ones I created and put up on Script Center, and they're available immediately for download via the links that we'll provide. So here's the one that requires a VHD upload. And I did that as part of a, what if I want to move an existing VM to Azure? Well, you can use this script if you want to as part of that solution. Or what if I just want to spin up a VM based on a VHD that's in the gallery already? Well, you could use that example. So those are pretty long running, and they're really, really big and long, and they're all documented. So I'm going to actually go into something that's much simpler, and it's the Git Azure OS disk info. So this runbook, and once I clicked on it, I get a very similar screen where I get the little cloud with the lightning bolt, then dashboard jobs. This is all stuff that's specific to the actual runbook. So it's not overarching every runbook. You can see I could select the runbooks on the side here. So I'm going to go to dashboard. You can see, when's the last time I ran this? Well, never, because I use it as in the test mode, which I'll get to in a second. What are the jobs? Well, they're filtered by date, but there aren't any here. So author is where we really want to look. So there's two states for any runbook, published and draft. So published means it's published. I could click start here, and it's going to go and run whatever it has in there. Draft says, I'm going to make an edit, or I want to test this and see what it looks like, you know, on the screen. And that's what we're actually going to do for this demonstration. So as you can see, I don't have any parameters in here, but I could add parameters and it would prompt, and I could show you that after this short demonstration. But here, I'm just, it's PowerShell. It starts out, it's PowerShell workflow. So it's workflow. I give it a name, which happens to be the runbook name as well. I reference, because I'm going to connect to Azure Resources, I actually need a prerequisite runbook, which is available from Script Center as well. And you can see I have it installed or imported here, called Connect Azure. And all it takes is one of those connection names that I created as an asset. So what was the Azure, what was the connection name I used? Primary Azure subscription. I'm going to pass that as a variable to this parameter. I'm going to then select it because I'm in a sandbox essentially when this runs. So it needs to know this is my subscription. I'm going to select that subscription. Now let's use it for the stuff I'm going to be using. So you can think of this stuff in this example as prerequisite stuff I need to execute stuff against Azure. And then this is the stuff that's actually going to execute against Azure. So what is it doing? Well, I'm manually hard coding service name and VM name in here just for the demonstration. I am then going to get the Azure VM as an object, and this is more PowerShell-y, but I'm just giving you an example here. And then I'm going to get the Azure disk information based on that VM. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to just click test. And because everything's hard-coded, it's not going to prompt me. But I'll show you prompting in a second. So we're going to hit OK there, and it's going to basically start processing the job. You can see status submitting. I'm going to just dismiss those. I don't need them. And then it's going to go to queued, I think, and starting. Yep, there's queued and starting, and then it'll be in starting for a little while. One thing to note about the service, and you'll experience this once you start using it, is it's a little slower. Remember, we're in preview. We're in a shared environment, and there's limited resources right now, so they can do the testing and evaluation for scalability as we need. Once it goes production, there'll be a much greater number of sandboxes and all that good stuff. So we're gonna wait for this to start. And
Charles, while we're waiting for this, what is the best way to bring in all the existing runbook or snippets I have developed into this environment?
Sure. So if you have a workflow, you can just, there's actually on the main runbook page, and I can't switch to it because this is in test mode, but if I was just running this, it would run in the background, but this is being interactive, so to speak. But on the main runbook page, there's actually import runbook, and as long as it's a valid workflow, you could import it right away. If you have PowerShell scripts you want to run against, your best case, you're going to open them in ISE, and then or Notepad or whatever you want, and you're going to just go ahead and click, copy and paste them and start testing. That's probably the fastest way.
So all those runbooks and then PowerShell script that I have previously developed, I can easily import into this environment and perhaps make some minor modification or perhaps reorganize it, and I can actually test run here.
Absolutely, because there's a backend database that stores them. You could do checkpointing and everything, so you could start and stop as you need as part of the runbook itself. So yeah, you could bring your existing investments to the cloud immediately, either be copy paste or import. All right, and you can see it took a little time, but like I said, we're in preview right now. You can see it completed. It gave me back an output, and it did that because I didn't assign this to a variable it's just PowerShell, so it's going to output what it thinks it needs to output, and it output the information here. So I asked it to get Azure OS disk for this virtual machine, which happens to be this DSC test VM that I've named. It tells me what the disk name is and the media link to the VHD and so on and so forth, and the source image name and all that. I could easily go and look that up, click on each individual portion of that. But what if I wanted to use this as part of a greater process? Well, I could just pass that in and do whatever I want with it. So that's the point. We're able to programmatically, via PowerShell, get information out of the system, and then even create or modify on the fly. So you asked me earlier how I would import. Let me just show you that button since we've finished with this small demonstration. So back on the Runbooks tab, this is the overarching one where you can see multiple runbooks here. I could do import, and it's looking for a runbook file, which is a PS1 file that has a workflow in it. Now, obviously, you can just go new, automation, runbook, quick create, show demo, choose an automation account, and I'm not going to put a description in there. Oh, one thing to note is for the preview, everything's locked down to East US. So don't worry if you can't choose things. That's just how it is. Once it goes production, it'll be opened up worldwide. Now, this is going to create that runbook. And you can see it's already created. I could hit Edit Runbook. And let's say I had something I wanted to copy-paste in. All I do is copy-paste in here. Pretty simple. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to create one that prompts. So I'm going to do param. And string. $ demo input. And then demo input. And then I'm just going to go ahead. I'm actually going to publish this because I'm confident that it's going to work. You wouldn't normally do that, but it's very simple. and then I'm going to click start. And you can see it's prompting me for demo input. Hello world. And then if I click go, it's going to run in the background. Not like we did in tests where it's going to show it to the screen. It's going to actually run it as a job, and we could go look at that job. And it's going to go through the same process. It's going to go queued. It's going to go starting and whatnot. And you can see everything about that particular job will show up here. It'll show input parameters. And because I'm outputting the input parameter, it'll eventually, when it's finished, it'll show the output here as hello world, so to speak. So you get a lot of information here. And then if you had logging and all that turned on, which I'll show you right now, it would show up here in the history tab. So while it's running, let's go look at that particular runbook, which we're still in, and go to configure. And I'll get to schedule in a second. So name, which you can't change once you create it, so make sure you're sure about the name you want. Description, I chose to not put that in, but you could put the description in here. And then tags. Tags is important because if you have a bunch of these, you can see it's a column view of a bunch of runbooks. So if you have a bunch of runbooks that you want to, if you have a bunch of runbooks and you want to filter them by specific names and tags, you could do it here. You put whatever you want in this field. It's just a string text. And then the logging that I was briefly talking about, you can turn on debug, verbose, and progress, and anything that's in your script that leverages, write progress, write verbose, write debug, will actually go to its own stream, and you'll be able to see it separately for that particular job. And let's check on the jobs and see if that has finished yet. It looks like it's completed, so let's go look. And we can see output, hello world, so I typed everything correctly. And if we go to history, there is no job history because I didn't write anything specifically to any verbose stream or anything like that. Also, I didn't have it turned on. So, but you get the idea there. And there's lots of documentation and examples on how to use all this stuff there. One thing I haven't talked about yet is schedule, and I think that's the last bit in here. So I'm going to go ahead and go to the schedule tab. And you can, actually, this is for this particular runbook, but you can do them, generically. So I could link to an existing schedule that I haven't created yet, or link to a new schedule. So since we don't have one, let's go ahead and show this experience. My schedule. Again, I could put a description in there. Next. Now, scheduling is limited right now to one time at a particular time or once a day. Now, if users of Orchestrator will be like, oh, that's not what my experience that I've had. I want it to be more granular than that. We've heard that. In fact, if you go to user voice, there is something you can upvote on that. That's something that we've heard many times from customers. So please, voice your desire for that. But there's other ways to kick these things off. You could kick them off. You could have a monitor that's running that looks at something else. There was a tech ed presentation that the product group did that showed monitoring like a Gmail account and then kicking something off somewhere else. I mean, it was just showing the extensibility there. So don't let the lack of granularity in schedules get you down, but this is sort of what you have available today. And then obviously if it requires variables, you go ahead and enter something there, and I'll go ahead and click OK, schedule. Let's see. And it gives you errors and stuff like that. I just clicked through and wasn't following the instructions, so that's what you get. But you get yelled at, and that's good. So it tries to dummy-proof it for you. So obviously,
I like that a lot. that a lot.
So I hope you get the idea there. I'm not going to go through that wizard again to save time, but that's the concept. You create a schedule, you associate that schedule with the run book, and then you can move on. And if you don't read the instructions like me, you'll get an error. So that's good. The other place to create a schedule is actually you can, in the assets, click on add setting, add schedule, and it'll walk you through that wizard. It'll be listed as an asset, and then you could reference it, as you saw there, from an existing schedule. So that's sort of the point there. I don't use schedules for my work of what I've done here. Your mileage may vary. But again, and I don't think it's available right this second. I may be wrong, but they're going to update the Azure PowerShell to allow the instantiation of runbooks from that PowerShell, which means you could do it from other things that can initiate PowerShell or web services and stuff like that. So you can use external schedulers, maybe even Azure Scheduler, to initiate runbooks. So you don't have to worry about the schedule that's baked in here. So they just wanted to get something there that allows you to do something on a schedule. But again, there's lots of different methods for initiating runbooks. You'll be able to explore those as your needs arise. So
that's great, because I was going to ask you how you can is it extensible? So you kind of explained that. So this is great. We can also integrate with other tools and all that.
Absolutely, and that's kind of what they were going for, especially when it's explained on this tab here, where out of the box you can integrate with Azure stuff. But let's say you want to integrate with a SOAP service or a REST service or something like that. If you're using multiple cloud providers and they have a web service, you can integrate to and from AWS or something like that. There's no limit because you're writing PowerShell against interfaces that may or may that are available, and then you could just pass data to and from and as needed. If you want to spin up VMs somewhere else, you can do that. Obviously, we'd want you to spin them up in Azure, but you can do whatever you want. It integrates via whatever API that PowerShell can access. And obviously, because this is a public cloud service, you would have to have access to it from the public cloud.
Hey, Charles, that's great stuff that you have been showing me. Hey, if I want to get some examples, where's the place I can get some?
Sure. Obviously, you can reference the blog post that I have available. But if you're in here and you're like, oh, I want to try something new, just click on this cloud and lightning bolt under your account here. And then there's two links. One is download sample runbooks, and the other is download runbooks from the community. These go to the same place, except this one is a curated list that's coming from the product group. So like Microsoft official sort of released. And this is from the community. And this is where you'll see mine and others from the community. So we're just going to take a look at the community ones because they also include the ones from Microsoft. You can see the difference there. These are tagged with Microsoft next to them. It doesn't, and really, it's you get the chance to do whatever you want here and view whatever you want. But you can see SC Automation product team. Those are the ones coming from the product team. And then if we find mine, sort of by popularity, so we got to get that going here. Where is it? Where did mine go? It used to be up there. Yeah, here's one. Provision Azure Environment Resources from Uploaded VHD. Here's the one I did. And then there should be one from Gallery that I don't see. Let's see. Oh, there it is. So it's a little bit farther down. I lost track where I was. But it has 50 downloads so far. And my other one had... Sorry, I'm doing this scroll thing, and I shouldn't be doing the scroll thing. Oh, it's right here. Silly. So that one has 103. So again, those are mine. I'm being selfish, but you're talking to me. So this is the first one that I put out. You could see on 4/23, and this is the one I released a couple weeks ago on 5/20. This one, you don't have to worry about uploading a VHD. This one, if you want to upload existing VHDs or VMs from your environment to Azure, this will help you automate that process, all leveraging Azure Automation. So, and of course, there are many. There's, 23 already, and the service is pretty new. So take a look at these, and of all the ones that you're going to want, if you're going to integrate with Azure IaaS or Azure in general, to your subscription, this is required. This one, connect to Azure subscription. You saw it was baked into mine. It allows you to connect to Azure in that sandbox that you have running in the cloud, and then select that subscription and you know, start your automation against Azure. Obviously, if you're going against other targets that aren't Azure, you might have to create something similar to that for your other targets, but that's the, this is the whole sort of the, this is what gets you going for Azure automation against Azure resources, and then you can start leveraging the other stuff that's in this list. So there's a growing list of examples here on Script Center.
Charles, thank you so much. That was wonderful demo that you have showed us, and I've learned so much from today's episode. Now, if I want to get started, could you just kind of quickly run down what do I need to do? I assume I need to get Windows Azure.
Yeah, if that's the first thing. If you don't have Windows Azure, go ahead and sign up for Windows Azure. If you have an MSDN subscription, you already have Azure credit, so go for it. That's included in your MSDN. If not, there's other ways to sign up. Just go to Azure, and you'll be able to figure out, get your Azure subscription. Then once you get your Azure subscription, sign up for the preview for Azure Automation. And then from there, start playing around. You could use those examples that are on Script Center and use the documentation that's available both on the blogs, my blog, Keith's blog, the Orchestrator blog, and then start playing around. And then please give your opinion, because it's a new service. It's out on User Voice. We'll add the link. I don't have it off the top of my head, but if you Bing User Voice Azure Automation, it'll be one of the top hits. And give us your feedback, because we want to improve this, because improving this improves the on-prem experience, and because now they're in sync with SMA and this. So everything that you suggest here may make it on to on-prem, and then you're improving both the on-prem and the public cloud solution.
Thank you. And once again, how do we get to your blog?
So the Building Clouds blog, the fastest way to get there is aka.ms/BCB. You could also Bing Building Clouds blog TechNet, so it's a TechNet blog, but it's Building Clouds blog, or the fast way, the vanity name is aka.ms/BCB.
Well, thank you very much, Charles. Thank you for participating in this DevOps series. We appreciate it. We hope to get you back soon to tell us more about Windows Azure, Microsoft Azure Automation. And for all you guys out there, you know what? I don't know what you're going to do, but the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to the Charles blog and download that script, and I'm going to test it out, Azure's automation. Thank you all, and I see you in another episode of TechNet Radio.